Church Malaysia. Hallelujah. Woo! I also need to practice, okay? Okay. Good morning. Good to have all of you in this church, okay? Good to see you. And especially for those who are first time stepping into church or never really know who our God is, I want you to know our God, Jesus, He loves you and He is for you. He loves you and He is for you. All right, let me kickstart with our sermon today. We are in this series on prayer, all right? It's a deep dive into how Jesus taught us to pray. Today, I'm going to share on prayer is kingdom focus. It will be a 5-week series. Pastor Eugene shared with us last week. It was on focusing. Prayer is focusing on God. Talking to God and relate to God as Heavenly Father, all right? And bestow, yeah, hallowed His name as holy. Well, for me, I am going to talk about your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is heaven, okay? Follow on with that will be our next 3 series. It's a 5-week series. Now, since we are in this topic on prayer, I'm going to take this opportunity to talk to you and let you all know we do have different prayer platforms, okay? We have corporate prayer, which we come together every third Saturday, 6:45 to 8 p.m. in this place, okay? Once a month corporate prayer. We call it worship and prayer night. And then we also have pre-service prayer. For Saturday, it will be physical, just the room outside of our auditorium entrance. And for Sunday, we come together in Zoom, 8:30 to 9 a.m., where we really pray for the services, where we pray for our pastors, our leaders, and everything we do, not only pertaining to Sunday, but just what we do as church, all right? Come and join us if you're Sunday morning, awaken, you have time. Come and join us. Just scan the code, the QR code. It's the same as a Nation Prayer QR code. Nation Prayer just half an hour before our pre-service prayer, 8 to 8:30 morning. Now, if you have prayer needs, after calling out upon your life group leaders or members to pray and you need more, you can always sign up with our house of prayer. It's a QR code where you lead you to a form and you can make an appointment with us, all right? We also have altar ministry where after every service, we will have a prayer minister stationed here to stand with you on whatever that you want us to believe together, all right? Okay, that's about prayer. Now, I want to really encourage all of us, especially those who have been regular in this house, to really take time to join us for corporate prayer. The power of coming together as a group, as a big group, it calls forth a different anointing. It calls forth a different presence of God. So do come and join us. Worship and prayer night every third Saturday. Just that 1 hour, 15 minutes, 6:45 to 8. Come. Yeah, I want to encourage all of us, especially you have a heart to pray. All right, I'm going to kickstart my sermon with Hannah's prayer of praise. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 2, and it has 10 verses. Okay, then Hannah prayed, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong, and I have an answer for my enemies. I rejoice because you rescue me. No one is holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There's no rock like our God." What a powerful proclamation that Hannah experienced personally. Yes, encounter deliverance from God. Okay? Then Hannah turned to the enemy, turned to her adversary, and she rebuked sternly. She said, "Stop acting so proud and haughty. Don't speak with such arrogance, for the Lord is a God who knows what you have done. He will judge your action." Wow, very bold. Next, this is what Hannah proclaimed. "The bow of the mighty is now broken, and those who stumble are now strong. Those who were well-fed are now starving, and those who were starving are now full. The childless woman now has 7 children. The woman with many children wastes away." Hannah is proclaiming her experience of seeing reversal. Full becomes staff. Childless, bare for children. What else? Mighty has broken. Stumble has been strong. Next, the Lord gives both death and life. He brings some down to the grave, but raises others up. The Lord makes some poor and others rich. He brings some down and lifts others up. He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. Can you imagine that? Garbage dump is the worst of the worst. It's the most hopeless case. And let's see what God did. He set them among princes. God not only lift them up, but he set them high among princes. Okay? Praising them in the seats of honor. For all the earth is the Lord's, and he has set the world in order. He will protect his faithful ones, but the wicked will disappear in darkness. No one will succeed by strength alone. Those who fight against the Lord will be shattered. He thunders against them from heaven. The Lord judges throughout the earth. He gives power to the king. He increases the strength of his anointed one. Wow. Hannah exhort God and really testify of the acts of God as he wills. The Lord God is sovereign as he wills, and he will act. Okay, so in this Hannah's prayer of praise, she is so acknowledging the sovereignty of God that brings about the reversal as he wills. What had happened to Hannah? Why such a intense, magnifying, proclaiming, exploding of emotion? Today we are going to examine Hannah's life. Yeah, to have an understanding. Yeah, what has transpired that bring her to such a spot. Okay, we're going to look into four components of the reality of Hannah's life. Number one, Hannah's pressure and pain. Number two, Hannah's psychological comfort. Number three, Hannah's brokenness and surrendering. Number four, Hannah's miracle. All these are found in 1 Samuel chapter 1 to chapter 2, verse 21. Okay, let's kick start with Hannah's pressure and pain. He referred to Elkanah. Elkanah is a Levite as a descendant. Every year, he will, with his family, arise from his city and then go to Shiloh to worship God. And Shiloh is a place where Eli and the two sons were priests. Okay? He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Today, if we are Hannah's friends, perhaps you'll call Hannah. Say, Hannah, no worry. Yeah, actually, you can get furry pets as companion. You know, the cats, the dogs, they're so cute, right? No, I know of a dog breeder. No, he breeds good poodle. You can choose color, black, brown, white, or even pink. Because you color the white to be pink. So cute, right? Right, this is our modern society, right? We take children as companion to feel complete as a family. But not so in Hannah's time. Hannah's time is 1,400 to about 1,000 years before Christ. It's an ancient time. Barrenness is a stigma. If you have no children, you are viewed as rejected and cursed by God. It brings shame, it brings dishonor. In ancient time, their livelihood would be raising livestock, farming, agriculture, fishery, pottery, carpentry, all need manpower, right? And children, the more you have, the more hands and legs. And with that, the more the production, the more the collection, then your wealth will increase. You will be of a certain economical status, wealthy. So children will bring you to that status, many, many of them. Not only that, right? Woman or mother that bore forth many children, they are contributing to the tribal or nation defense. How is a nation great? big army. How to have big army? Lots of soldiers. Where are the soldiers come from? Not like us, import, foreign workers. No, from the nation, the mother birth of children. So if you are mother who birth of children, you are considered a hero to the nation. If you are barren, you are zero. Yeah, and not only that, in that time, only 4 out of 10 children will grow up to adulthood. Yeah, many of them just can't grow to that because of sickness, diseases, war, or whatever. So if you have give birth to many, more will grow up to the adulthood, and your old age welfare is guaranteed. It's so, so needed to have children, and many of them, right? And do not talk about the psychological, oh sorry, the emotional support. So imagine with me, Hannah's state. Put yourself in Hannah's position. A lot of pressure, despair, to be seen as childless. All right? Okay, on top of that, right, let's read on. And her rival, which is Peninnah, used to provoke her grievously to irritate her. New King James Version put it, provoke her severely to make her miserable. Can you imagine that? It's literally, you have wound, you rub salt into the wound. When was the last time you put salt in your ulcer? Put salt in the ulcer in your mouth. Whoa, my goodness, so painful, right? Your tear also will flow. The pain, the agony, right? Well, because the Lord has closed her womb. So we went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, Peninnah will provoke Hannah. Peninnah maybe, not maybe, I make a jingle for Peninnah. Peninnah perhaps say, you have no baby, I have many. You are zero, I am hero. I write a good jingle for Peninnah, okay? Copyright to her. Y'all cannot copy. Y'all cannot repeat, okay? So real. So real, year after year. Imagine you have somebody who literally want to come after you and make you miserable. It's not easy to be in the position of Hannah. All right? Now, let's look at Hannah's psychological comfort. What is psychological comfort? It's referred to a state where your mental and emotion are at ease. You feel safe, you feel secure, you feel stable. Basically, you feel good about yourself. Where do we draw this psychological comfort? Typically, it will be from healthy and vibrant relationship. Also, can be your belief system. Also, can be from a blissful and a serene environment. That's where we get our psychological comfort. So, Hannah has her psychological comfort. Let's read on. And on the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he will give portion to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters, but to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her. Wow, so sweet, right? So nice. Just imagine the K-drama, you know. It's so real, right? To have just people love you, you feel good, you know. Yeah, and you also can see from here why Peninnah is so upset. Favoritism, prefer one to the other. It doesn't help. It doesn't help anyone. But yet, it's a psychological comfort to Hannah. And let's read on. It says here, and Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? And I'm not more than you than 10 sons. So Elkanah is telling Hannah, yeah, I am the one that complete you. Look no more. I am better than 10 sons to you. Correct? Yeah. I believe Elkanah, in this posture of him, to so love Hannah, has supported Hannah year after year to go through life, to be sane. But yet, at this point of time, for Hannah, she still weep. She is sad, and she has no appetite for food. Psychological comfort, yeah, can many times support us, but the real pain, the real despair, the root issue, cannot relinquish. Let's move forward. You know, I try to look for a picture that can, portray Hannah. You know, most of the picture will have very serene, you know, like quiet, people praying, or no, white will wear a little bit of tears, but not for Hannah, because of her position, because of her pain that is so deep, right? So let's look at Hannah's brokenness and suffering. And after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, just that moment, Hannah rose. This rose is not like awake, I mean, so stand up and then walk away. No. In Hebrew, this word is Q-U-M, come. It means arise to take action, okay? Decisive movement to bring about a turning point. Hannah rose, and she rose to do two things. Number one, she go before the presence of God. She pour out her pain, sorrow, and despair unto the Lord. Number two, she came to God with a bold petition. Let's look at the verses. It says here, she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. I move on to the next slide just to show you her posture. And when she was confronted by Elkanah thinking that confronted by Eli, as Eli thinking she was drunk, this is her reply. All right, she said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." She gave of herself unto the Lord, pouring out all that is within her unto the Lord. She comes before God. Then I go back to this verse. I want to show y'all her bold petition. And she wowed a while and say, "Oh Lord of hosts, oh Lord God Almighty, you have indeed looked on the affliction of your servant and remember me, not forget your servant, but will give your servant a son. Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor will touch his head." How many sons Hannah asked for? One, right? But to become the social economic status that the culture Hannah was in, come on, trade with God. God, give five, I give one to you, four for myself. Huh? Good trade, right, God? No, she only asked for one. And this one that she asked for, she said, is going to be given back to God, to serve God, right? Yep. All the days of his life. And when I say the razor will not touch his head, means this boy, his life going to be consecrated just to serve God's purpose. Hannah has shifted. She totally surrendering, regardless of what the culture, social context will demand children, how many of them. No, she no more. She just asked for one. Why one? Okay, we got to understand the belief system of the Jewish then. For them, they believe they are chosen people because they have the Abrahamic blessing. Right? What is Abrahamic blessing? It stems out from God's covenant with Abraham. God promised Abraham, "Your descendants will be great. Many." Right? And the nations will be blessed through your descendants. So by having children, you're having your necks, you are participating in the Abrahamic blessing. So for Hannah, she abandoned all that, the social, the economy that has been pressurizing her. She just wants to participate in Abrahamic blessing. That's why she only asked for one. And this one is going to be in the house of God, growing up there, not going to be by her side, right? And this one is consecrated to do whatever God's will. It's no longer about her desire, her wants. It's no longer about her. It's about God, you, your will, your purpose. All right, let's look at the next. Let's see what happened after that. So in here it say, with all this transpired between her and God, the divine appointment, the starting of a turning point. Then Eli answered, he said, answered her and said, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant you petition that you make to him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman, Hannah, went her way. And she ate. And her face was no longer sad. Has she gotten a child yet? No. But she has so settled within her. She rises up to eat. And she no longer sad. Thereafter, let's look at Hannah's miracle. So they rose early in the morning after the encounter, right? The whole family rose early in the morning, worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. And the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. And she called him Samuel. For she said, I asked of him from the Lord. So as Samuel grew at a certain age, about 4 or 5, Hannah weaned her off and bring Samuel to Eli to fulfill her vow to God. And it's upon that she break forth in the prayer of praise that we kickstart the sermon with. Just so amazing how God has so reversed for her as she give of herself and surrendering her brokenness to God and allow God to take over. Well, God never stopped on just that. Hannah has more miracles. So in 1 Samuel 2:21, it stated that indeed the Lord visited Hannah and she conceived and bore 3 sons, 2 daughters. And the boy Samuel grew in the presence of God. What's so comforting for a mom who see things that come to pass, how God has shown her favor. She asked for one. She landed. Not only have one that is so great, grow up in the presence of God, she have 5 more. All right. Who is Samuel? All right. As she give of herself and allow God to take over, God raised a mighty Samuel, a key figure in the Old Testament who was a prophet, priest, and judge in Israel. He had a pivotal role in transitioning Israel from a period of judges to monarchy, anointing both Saul and David as king. He was fervent for God and prophetically guided and helped to establish the kingdom of Israel. You know, all of us, we can have perhaps a fair share of pain and despair. Like me, I have my fair share of pain. I lost my husband a year plus ago. Perhaps yours, broken relationship, smacked with diseases and sickness that bring much suffering, lack of finance, cannot keep up to just doing maintenance of life, or fail in performance, don't have favor with your boss, or just struggle with studies, so on and so forth. We have fair share of pain and struggles. And yes, we will be able to find comfort in some support. But ultimately, I want to encourage you that within, the only you know how deep, how difficult, how challenging what you are going through, you can bring it to this God. Surrender to him. Allow him to take over and bring forth his will. Just so amazing. You know, so for Hannah, prayer is surrendering her will and allowing God to take over. 1,000 years later, Jesus picked up the same concept and understanding of prayer and he taught his disciple. And it reads as, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus not only taught his disciple that, he himself prayed that prayer. In the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was so pressed, where he was so sorrowful, because what is ahead is not going to be easy. The betrayal is at hand. The road to Calvary and the crucifixion is not easy. So difficult. Actually, Jesus has an option to walk away, but he didn't. He anchored himself in this prayer. He said, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I, but as you will." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again, so leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same word again. Because of he abandoned himself, even though it's in such agony, he desired, he willing to embrace all that God has for him. Today, all of us sitting down here, we partake of him who walked out this journey of wanting to see God's kingdom come. Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, all of us are so blessed. Am I right? Yes, we are. So, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's a prayer that denying of self and submission to God. It's embracing God's will even with a cost. It's allowing God to use us for his glory and his kingdom purpose. Can I invite all of us to stand? No, let's take this moment, just you and God. Just come before him. Of course, thankfulness towards Jesus. But at the same time, is there anything within you that you want to call for his will to overtake yours? Let's just take this one simple, a few minutes. You and God. Hallelujah, Lord. Your will, Lord God. Your will. To be done. God, you lead us. In the path, in the journey. To learn to surrender. And deny ourselves and allow you to take over. Thank you, Jesus. You pray that prayer. You walk the road of Calvary. We are so blessed by you, Jesus. We are grateful. As you teach us, oh God, how to pray this prayer, you continue to bring about understanding, oh Lord God. You continue to bring about illuminating, oh God, Lord, in our life. Which areas that we need to let go, surrender, deny, and let your will take over. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, you know, let's pray this together as Jesus taught us how to pray. Jesus said, "Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as our debts. And we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Amen.